Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Well, good evening. It's so good to have you guys join us tonight. It's kind of a really special program for me as we go in knowing that tomorrow we celebrate and observe Memorial Day. I really would like to talk about that. But Jim, I was going to ask you, do you have any special Memorial Day
memories
or traditions that your family does?
Thank you for asking, Natalie. No. If you know me very well, our audience probably does, knows I'm not antisocial. But I'm extremely selectively social, and I very much enjoy being invited. But I don't participate in any of those Memorial Day. Come over to the house, let's have a cook. No, I think I'll stay home and sit on the porch.
You know? Well, that's all right. Sweet tea or unsweet tea?
No, I'm an unsweet drinker.
Unsweet tea on the back porch. There you go.
Well, I've got three porches. I've got the west porch, the front porch, and the back porch. So depending on which direction the wind's blowing and which way the sun's shining, that's probably where I will be, or maybe out in the shop putting something together. But I do not have very many specific Memorial Day-related things, except I do recall that when I was a child, we went to school from Labor Day to Memorial Day.
Okay.
And from Memorial Day to Labor Day was summer vacation.
So you knew that.
I'm a little older than you, but back in the 60s, that's the way it was scheduled, is that school started the Monday after Labor Day, and it ended on the Friday before Memorial Day. And so I always knew when the school year was. So my best memory of Memorial Day is I'm out of school. It's summer vacation time. Now, my father was a veteran, and he served his duty in the Korean conflict.
Well, that's neat.
At about the same time as the gentleman that is revered in our church as our oldest veteran, Mr. H.B. Krug, he served in Korea as well, slightly overlapping my father's tour of duty, but he and I talk often about that. And he is a wonderfully fascinating man and served his country well. And I will publicly salute the gentleman here on the radio tonight because he is the oldest living veteran that I know of from the Korean conflict.
I need to meet this guy.
Well,
how have I not already?
Because you don't come to first service, dear.
Oh, well, I did last week.
Well, you missed seeing Mr. Krug. He is a stately gentleman who comes to first service religiously. But he is the oldest living veteran that I know of from the Korean conflict. Now, I'm sure there's more out there.
Yes.
But my father served 17 months overseas and did his 2 years in the Army, having been drafted like most young men were during the late 40s and early 50s. And
so. Right, right. And James's father was drafted. And also, I've got James here tonight.
Right. We're not ignoring the fact your wonderful husband is on your left.
Yeah, we're not trying to ignore him, but we're just having us a good time. And his father was actually drafted to the Vietnam War. And so... Mm-hmm.
You know, you young folks.
Yeah. But, you know, Memorial Day, when I think about Memorial Day, I'm sad to say when I was younger, it didn't mean a whole lot to me as far as the meaning of the day.
And there is a distinct difference when we celebrate Memorial Day versus when we celebrate Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're honoring those who gave their lives in the line of duty when we are on Memorial Day. And that's what this weekend's all about. And so what's our celebrations? While we're enjoying ourselves tomorrow on our day off from work, we're honoring those who gave their lives in the line of duty to give us the freedom we enjoy.
Right.
And I have kind of a funny story to remind us of that. It always reminded me of that because when I was a kid, I don't know how old I was. I'm going to guess somewhere around the age of 8, somewhere in that neighborhood, I had went up and I had bought some Mother's Day flowers for my mom. And I had bought her a memorial wreath of flowers.
It was the thought that counted.
And so I give it to her and she's like, what are you trying to say? You know, am I dying? And so anyway, I didn't know, but so I always know that the memorial, when you remember the dead veterans or the memorial, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that's by Mother's Day, you know.
That's
it's not the labor, not the Veterans Day, the Labor Day, you know. It's always you get them mixed up. Okay, the Memorial Day is the by Mother's Day because it's both got flowers.
And you know why I remember the difference between the two? Because when I was younger and my children were younger, we had friends. And interestingly, Mike and Kay had three children, and they were all 6 years apart. And their birthdays were all the first week of September. And she said, it's easy to remember Labor Day because I was in labor three times with all three of my children. They were all born the first week of September.
Wow.
I remember that, and that's how I tell the two holidays apart, and I get them mixed up.
So. There you go.
And so as we go into talking about Memorial Day, that's really what's on my heart tonight is to talk about that. You know, because for our family, that's the first day you got to go to the lake. That was the beginning of summer, and it was time to go to the lake and start having fun and on the water. But it's about those that, like what you said, Jim, those that serve for us, that we have the freedoms. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that tonight. I want to read to you what Thomas Paine wrote. It's called The Crisis, and he actually wrote it in December 23rd in 1776 after they had just suffered a loss. And this is what it says. And this is just a very small portion of it. It's actually really long. But these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and the thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. And that's what we want to do, is we want to give thanks for those that deserve that, the men and women that had to go through that tyranny, that hell, to bring us about to the freedoms that we have in our country today.
Yep. Because, you know, it's a statement that we have. It says freedom's not free, but most people don't understand that people have died for what we have in this country, and they're not remembered near enough, and it's taken, you know, and the soldiers that came, but they come back, you know, they're not treated with what they need to be treated. You know, there's a lot that's, people take it for granted, and it's just the government gets it into it and gets some stuff messed up, and it's just something that people could put a lot more emphasis on and make that a better situation.
That's right. And, you know, it's like I was saying earlier, Memorial Day didn't mean what it means to me today like it did before, even though knowing that my father was in the military and I was a military brat, you know, I moved around every, 4 years, 3 to 4 years, whatever it was, until my parents divorced. And even with that, it wasn't until later that I realized, and I think it's once maybe as a believer and realizing who God is and the freedoms that he gave us, and that we have America, that we can serve him with freedom, and the things that we have, that it really has started hitting home for me that these people that have gone out to fight the fight for us, that we sit in a country that we are safe and sound and we don't have to deal with all of that. And I hope it stays that way for America. But that's what it makes me, that's what it makes me think of. And so I mentioned earlier your father, he was, drafted in the war, the Vietnam War. And so, your father as well has served. I know that you, went into the reserves. And so with that being said, what made you decide to sign up, and what made you decide to do the reserves?
Well, there was a part of me that really wanted to serve my country. You know, that I think it's just, you want to serve your country. You understand what this country is and what it's done. You don't understand it, I don't think, at say 18 years old. But you know, there's a sense of that you need to serve, and you know that you want to serve, you know. And
you think it's a form of love for the country as well, or?
I think so. I think it's a patriotism kind of deal, you know. We honor our flag, and I know it's a big deal right now. People are dishonoring different kinds of stuff in the country and the flag and different stuff, but I think there's a lot of people that have that honor, especially the people that have fought for that flag and have family members and no good friends that died for that flag. That's why it's such a touchy subject, I think, with a lot of people. So that was part of it in me, was that I wanted to do that. That was a very small part at 18. It was there, but it wasn't one of my main, you know, main reasons, I wouldn't think. I think it was, I just didn't know it at the time. I think it was a bigger reason than I thought it was, because I don't know, it was 18, you don't know what you're gonna do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now I wanted to go into the Army, because I wanted to fly a helicopter. That was my deal. I thought it would be cool to fly a helicopter. I wanted to fly a helicopter. And I couldn't, because my eyes were bad. I was like Mr. Magoo, you know. I just couldn't see without my glasses. And so
Reminds me of what someone said last night. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I said, well, let me be a someone's talking to a recruiter, right? And I said, well, I can be a co-pilot or whatever. He says, no, you got to have good eyes to be a co-pilot too. And I thought, well, just let me be the machine gunner. They don't ever hit nothing in the movies anyway. You know, they just sit there and shoot off the machine gun and just shoot, right? I can do that. I can point in the right direction and shoot. And he says, no, you can't even be a crew member on a helicopter unless you have excellent eyesight. You know, and I thought, well, that's not any fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Army, right? You know, you're the, go be G.I. Joe. You know, you have requirements to go do all that, right?
Yeah, that should take everybody.
Right, yeah. And so anyway, I mean, I passed your little ASVAB test. I scored high enough. I ought to get to go do something. So anyway, he said, well, we can put you in artillery. And I thought, artillery? So I thought about that, and I didn't think that was a very good idea, you know. And so I was living in Oklahoma, and so the Oklahoma National Guard right there, they were artillery. And so I wasn't quite as stupid, you know, as a lot of people are, you know, 18 years old. I had a little bit of sense. So I knew that I could go join the guard and get in artillery. And then if I just decided that I really liked it, you could transfer it over and become active duty with, you know, no issue. You just go be active, right? And if I didn't like it, I just had to put up with it for 1 week in a month, you know, and then a couple weeks in the summer. So I took the lazy way out, you know, and did not necessarily lazy way, but I took the trial and error
yeah. way.
I took it for a test drive. I took the Army for a test drive. And needless to say, I did not go active duty. I did my 1 week in a month, you know. But anyway, it was, you do the same, you know, it's the same boot camp, the same AI, the same training, you know, the same AIT and everything is all the same. And then those guys ship off, be full time, and you go to your, you know, weekend deal. So it was, I learned a lot, and then I knew a lot that I hadn't made the wrong decision in the artillery deal, because I would not want to be doing this 24/7 full time. So,
But that is to say, you were never called up.
I was never called. In fact, okay, So all through boot camp, okay, so a guy I worked with was in the guard, and he was a dedicated, I mean, he was a pretty good car salesman, okay? Gary Ware might want to hire the guy, but he's a pretty good talker into her, right? He made a good recruiter. And so, but he was in the guard, and they had just got back from Florida for their 2-week summer camp.
And you, went to you thought, go to the beach on in Florida. Right?
Right. Training for the sand in Florida. I'm thinking, now this sounds like a pretty good idea. You know, we get to go do all this stuff and, yeah, and get paid to do it, right? And so I sign up, and then the whole time you sing the songs, the cadence is a cadence, you know, about you join the army to see the world. You know, that's a song that we sang for a long time. I never left the state of Oklahoma, ever. Not one time. I did all my boot camp, AIT, in Lawton, down at Fort Sill, and then every 2-week drill we had in Lawton, Oklahoma. So I never got out of the state of Oklahoma, and then I was injured down there in summer camp in May of 90. I got hurt, and so I was medically discharged from that. So anyway, so in 91, it might have been 92, shortly after I got out, they go to Utah for that. And so I'm like, what's the deal, man? I mean, I was like,
you wanted to see the world.
The whole time I'm in there, yeah, I never leave the state, and right before and right after, you know, yep, so they go to Utah to train. So, but anyway, I was actually in during, you know, the very first initial Desert Storm deal, when they very first started with the Kuwait,
yes,
deal. And there were a lot of guys in my unit that signed up and volunteered to go, and there were some that were forced to go that went. So I know, and that was the one that there was rarely a shot fired, you know, that whole conflict. There wasn't, they surrendered and a lot of stuff. And so that was a conflict that it was a war, but it really, I don't know that it was actually much like a war.
It was more a military exercise.
Right.
Than
it was,
yeah,
it
yeah,
was because yeah, they surrendered. You know, and I've heard lots of stories about that after the fact that I didn't know then. And I had some guys that, like I said, they signed up and volunteered to go. And I just, my dad never talked about Vietnam. I've heard two stories from him, you know, my whole life. And I just knew that from what, the way he acted and whatnot was, you didn't want to go to war. And anybody that wanted to go to war was a nut. Or they didn't understand what war was, you know. Because, like I said, I just knew from a child, one of the scariest things my mom ever had us ever do, you did not want. And that's when she said, go wake your daddy up. Yeah. You did not want to get nowhere near him, wake him up, because he was still, you know, and today it's PTSD,
we
right?
We understand it now. Yeah.
Now, back yeah, then, you didn't have nothing. You just deal with it. You're yeah, out, get along, be glad you didn't die, and go on. So, yeah, but, he, you know, so, I mean, I'd seen that as a kid, the effect that it had on him, you know, from that. You didn't wake up. You didn't wake up around him where he could grab hold of you because
yeah,
you might not make it. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Might not know what he was
yeah,
happening. I know.
So,
happened in my household, too.
Right. And so, just from that childhood of knowing how bad the war it had to have been, because he never even talks about it, you know what I mean, and he's seen a lot of stuff that no human being probably ought to ever see, you know, and so anyway, I said, you idiots are going to sign up to go. Well, they did. Like I said, it wound up being no big deal, and they come back and they got their little, you know,
little,
but anyway, no, I never had zero intention of ever would I never volunteer to go to war. You know, I never would. Now, would I go, and it was a difference between would I go and defend this country and die for this country? Yes, I would. I would rather go and let the other country's servicemen die for their country and not me die for mine, you know. That's the whole object of it, is to let them die for their country.
When you're in war,
when
one
you're at war,
side
right, somebody's going to die for a country. And
yeah,
so, like I said, the object is not for you two, but it never was a doubt in me that I wouldn't, or you know what I mean?
Right,
I would
yeah,
have. Like I said, I'm glad I never had to. But that was so I mean, I guess I had a little bit of an understanding, maybe somewhat, of what it was, you know, and how bad it was, and how bad the war, and how bad war itself is, you know what I mean? And sometimes, and so I apply that sometimes when you read the Bible, these Bible stories, you know, how David went to war and they went and they killed all these people. And I'm just like, you know, it was still war. You know what I mean? It was still death and everything. You know, people don't pay attention and they don't realize what it is to actually take a life, you know. And there's a lot of people that can't cope with that, can't handle that, you know, even though it's, you know, you're doing it and it's legal and it needs to be done, had to be done type deal, you know what I mean?
No matter how much you're trained.
Right. No matter how much training yeah, you get,
there's still right, that deep down inside.
Right.
it's difficult to do that.
Right, it is. Yeah. And so, like I said, I think that's a lot of people deal with this, that they don't get the proper credit and proper, you know, I don't even know what you would do for it. You know what I mean? I know the answer is Jesus, but you know what I mean?
That's a great start.
Yeah, that's going to fix it. You have to give him that. But anyway, so from the military side of it, you know, I did have some experience of it, you know what I mean, from that. And I think I had decided through some of the people that I had run into that, this wouldn't be good for military, because I think if I ever had to go to war, I had thought the first thing I'm doing is shooting a few of these people here because they're going to get me killed. So, you know,
yeah, that'll get you a certain designation.
Yeah, that will. So anyway, but that was, I don't regret ever doing it. I regret how I got hurt because it's my own fault being an idiot, and we won't go into all that, you know, because that's been forgiven.
So. Okay, we'll go do that.
Jesus took that away. It's far from the east, from the west. So, yeah. But no, it was a good experience. And like I say, I am a veteran. I guess I'm a disabled veteran if you get down technically to it, but I don't feel like a veteran. To me, as a veteran is someone who's served in wartime,
actually,
but
seen active duty.
Done something other than what I did. Because, sure. But anyway, like I said, it was I nothing I wouldn't have done. But you know what I mean. To me, I don't feel like I deserve nothing out of it. But I know the people that have went. I know a lot of guys that served and have done stuff over there, and so it's they do stuff that, you know, that we live in this country here, and we get to freedom of speech, and we get to all the stuff that we do, you know, the right to assemble and have church. You know, that's something you'd think was, but they you can't do that everywhere in the world because they didn't win the war, whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so
that's right.
It's freedoms that we take for granted like that we are grateful. I am very grateful to these people that have done this. And like that, you just read from Thomas Paine was, you know, if it's not at a high cost, we take it for granted. And that's, I'm just like, that's these people that have died. That's the cost. And our sins, Jesus died. So that's the high cost. And so we can't take that stuff. That's why it comes at a high price. And so, anyway.
So with that being said, you went to boot camp and did all of that good stuff. Is it like it is in the movies?
To an extent, yeah. There are always the idiots that can't follow directions. You know, really, I had been told, because I had joined the Guard, right? And so I was coming to active duty. I was coming to the weekend meetings before I ever went to boot camp, because I signed up still in high school, I believe February, right? And so I come to like March, April, and May's meetings, and then I went to boot camp in June. And so those guys had kind of give me a little bit of heads up on what's going to happen. Look for this, look for that, right? And so I kind of had a little cheat sheet of knowing kind of what to expect on some of this. And most of it, everything they told me was true, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Just they have, when you drive up on the bus, you know, and, you know. And so anyway, I had that. But it's a lot like it. And it's basically keep your mouth shut, do what they tell you to do, and you never have no problem. It's real simple, really, is if, you know, they're trying to make you a soldier, but, you know, if you just keep your mouth shut and do what they tell you to do, you really kind of, you know, go with the flow and you don't really have that much trouble. And I was amazed at the people that just could not follow those two simple rules.
You That's know. What I was fixing to say. And how hard was that when you just had to do what they said?
It was very hard. You know what I mean? It's just like the simple rule of don't talk when the drill instructor is talking. And I'm just like, they start talking. I'm like, you idiot. I'm like, you, why? You know, I just like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, wow, wow.
Well, so, you know, the old question is how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, the answer is one. But that light bulb has to really want to change.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that goes along with these guys in boot camp. They've got to really want to follow the rules.
Follow the rules, yeah.
They're not going to follow the rules.
Yeah, yeah. It was
So they have to learn how to follow rules in the military
listen,
in boot camp.
Do what you're told. Okay. You're like three-year-olds, basically. Yeah, you know.
And something tells me that James kind of had enough upbringing. He already knew how to follow the rules.
Oh, you listen to the rules.
Hey, I was on. So we were there for 13 weeks, right? You had 8 weeks of boot camp and 5 weeks of AIT. It was 13 weeks. And I want to think that it was week we were in AIT, so it was week 10, maybe 11. So probably week 10, I'm going to guess, right? So the drill sergeant didn't even know who I was. Like, I'd been in there.
You were quiet.
I was quiet and did what I was told, right? So, and he found out I got in trouble for somebody else's.
Well, tell that story if you don't mind.
Well, okay.
I just think this is a cool story.
Well, so you have your platoon guides, right? They're like they appoint guys with you to kind of be your leaders, right? And then they get their, they don't have to do everything they don't want to do because they're the boss, right?
They got people.
They got people for that. Well, okay, in the food line, you got it, you eat it. You know, that was the rules. You know, you got it, you eat it, and you have to clean your plate. That's why I think I should attribute my weight factor from, but, you know, anyway.
Although it's probably when you get the smallest of your life,
yeah,
isn't it?
But so anyway, so anything you got on your plate, you had to eat it, right? Well, okay, so when you leave, just for time services, you would take, there would be one person would get two trays, right? So you leave your tray with somebody or you take somebody's tray, so there's not as many people in line to dump the trays and give them to the dishwasher people, right? So this platoon guide, he had an apple on his plate that he did not take a bite of, didn't want to eat it. And I have to take his plate because they don't do that, right? They're too good for that. And so anyway, I've got his plateless apple and I'm thinking, I'm going to get in trouble for this stinking apple. I thought about eating it real quick before I got up there because I knew I was going to get in trouble for this apple. Well, sure enough, I just left it alone, get up there, and you're in a battalion, so you have different drill sergeants. Well, this happened to be one of my drill sergeants. We had two, basically, right? And so he was one of mine, and he's chewing me out for this apple. Of course, it's not mine, it's somebody, you know,
don't have a recourse.
Don't even play that game, because their excuses are like, yeah, we all know, okay?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's just leave that alone. But, so I just like, you know, I just didn't say nothing. I just went out and just, you know, so I've got to eat the apple while I do push-ups, you know, okay. So that's a talent not everyone can do. But,
Doing a push-up with one hand?
When you come down, your apple can touch, so you can get a good bite of it, you know, and so. Anyway, I got most of the apple eat till he left, and I threw the apple away and went on. So, anyway, he wanted to know whose battalion I was, whose group I was, and I was in his. And you could see the shock on his face that we've been here 10 weeks, and he don't even know who I am. And I'm in his, you know. So he took it upon his personally to call me out from then on.
Oh, wow.
And so I got the pleasure of getting harassed by the drill sergeant for a couple of weeks after that. And so this guy had two patches for running 100 mile races. Running, not jogging on. There's different groups you can sign up for the PT, right? And he taught the fast group. So in his group, you take off on the days you run, you take off a run and you run at a sprint until you get back. They had a slow group, a medium group, and all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do we know which one you fell into?
Well, we know after the apple incident, James is not only in the fast group.
He's supposed to be leading.
Yeah, I'm leading the fast group. And so there's of course, you know, and I was one of the bigger guys, but I wasn't that big in boot camp. I mean, and now, you know, looking back, but at the time I still was.
To now,
I was still the fat guy in the bunch, right? So there was another fat guy in there with me. And so, and of course, most of us were Oklahoma because most of us were guard. And so me and the other fat kid, he made the other fat kid run in his fast group too, just cause I was, right? I don't know. He got prejudice for being fat. So he didn't have an apple deal, but so anyway, so we both now are leading the fast running group. And their people are falling out behind us, and we're not even, you know, we're not as tired.
That's because you got a little extra energy built up in
there.
Well,
we got the adrenaline, I think, from running right beside him and knowing that we can't stop or he's going to probably kill us, you know, beat us down. So we're running. And so anyway, then it falls into everybody that got tired. Well, they caught it because they can't even keep up with the fat kids. Oh, yeah. So that motivated us even more to, hey, let's go a little faster. And so we picked it up a little bit more. So, you know, it wasn't all so bad. We had some fun in it. We had some stuff. And you learned a lot about people, you know, in that kind of deal. But
well,
I survived.
As the old cowboy preacher said, what's in your bucket It's what comes out when it gets kicked.
Yeah.
And you get in those situations to find out what a man's made out of.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And that's part of that drill sergeant's job.
That's right. And like I said, we just did what you had to do, and it wasn't that bad. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was bad, but you know what I mean? And to me, the what they take away, and I understand the reason for all of it, but you know, it's just, if you want to need to go to the bathroom, you say, "Hey, I'm going to the bathroom." No. No, that's not it. You'll get permission, you know. So, anyway.
So, really, that brings me to the next question. So, how was that adapting to that military life, that boot camp? And, well, not only that, with you going, was it hard to adapt to the once a month going to your reserve meetings?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't hard at all. Like I said, working sometime in the oil field, you know, I'd have to get somebody to work for me on the weekends, and usually I would work nights, and they would, because I would work in days, and so they would just, some guy that was working nights would work my day spot, and I would work his night spot. So you'd work, you know, a lot of times I'd spend 14, 16, 18 hour days, you know, on that one weekend, you know, and so it was kind of tough sometimes, but.
So when you went for your weekend, you didn't stay there the whole weekend? Did so many hours a day or?
Yeah, if you drilled at home, it was a home drill, which ours was in Elk City. And so you stayed at home, you basically was there from say 8 to 5.
Okay.
And then that's, yeah. Now on the weekends that you did go to say we'd go to Fort Sill in Lawton, then you had to stay there the whole time, you know, but the thing was, and everything's all about the big mighty dollar. It was about money, you know what I mean? It costs more to send everybody down there. But we would go down there probably 4 times a month, a year, I mean, and you actually go out on the field and shoot the artillery and stuff like that, you know. And then, of course, you had your 2 weeks in the summer. You'd go down there and shoot against the artillery and stuff. And it was, you know, a week. You were in the field for a week, you know, training to do whatever mm-hmm. it was that you did. Everybody did the same thing, just whatever you were doing. You trained for 1 week, and then we had a week in back where you're in the barracks where you maintenance and cleaned everything up, and it was kind of just a, you know, that was everyone's party week right there usually.
So while knowing, okay, so going through all of this and looking back now, did you learn anything about yourself during that time?
Yeah, well, I mean, like Jim said, you learn a lot about yourself, and when you're put in that position, be it whatever position, a lot of times you don't know how you're going to respond, how you can respond, you know. But you learn what you can do and what you can't do, you know what I mean? Like, is there a point where you're going to break or a point you're going to quit? Like I said, that was that drill instructor's job, is to try to find that. And we actually had a guy that he kind of went nuts. He was trying to get a bullet for the gun, so he gonna kill the drill sergeant, you know, and somebody had said that. And so he actually had got a live round and was saying he was gonna shoot the drill sergeant. Now whether he was or not, I don't know, but that guy just broke, you know, you could kind of talk to him because you kind of knew him, but you know, but he was just not right in the head mentally. And whether he was all along or just after that, I don't know, but I think they broke him down. You know, to where he mentally just could not handle it, which, like I said, that's the whole point of that. That way they don't, in combat situation over somewhere, and they got everybody's life on the line, then they break down. You know,
that's what I was going to say is that it's not just a physical training, but a mental training
as
well.
Yeah. It was, like I said, boot camp deal, they put you, you're up 20 hours a day or whatever, you know what I mean? And you walk and run everywhere you go, and then they give you this slow, boring, mental training. You know, they put you in the classroom where it's 110 degrees, no air conditioner, and you can't stay asleep. You know, it's kind of like you see that on the movies, you know what I mean? That G.I. Jane, that was it. Kind of wasn't quite that bad like the SEAL training, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They do the same thing. They test you mentally and physically, and there's a reason for all of it. You know what I mean? It's not just to be mean or nothing like that. It's
actual has a purpose. Right. Serves a purpose in the training.
Right. It does. It's not always pleasant, but it's.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things, it's kind of like I say, experience. Experience is the worst thing in the world when you're getting it, but it's the best thing in the world when you have it. You know?
About anything.
Anything in life. It don't matter. You know, if your transmission goes out of your vehicle and you have to work on that and fix that, that's horrible doing it. And then down the road when it messes up, you know how to do it. It's not as bad because I have experience. Changing a tire, whatever it is, can be anything. And you know,
and you learn you can do it. You know, that makes me think about, things with God. You know, when you go through trials and you go through those fiery times and you have to depend on God and you go to the Word and he's there for you and he gets you through those moments, they weren't fun going through, but now you've gone through, you can look back and say, you know what? I can do this. With God with me, I can get through. And so when I do face another moment, then I can look back on that and know I can do it. Because I know God can help me do it.
Right. And that's like I said, I don't have a great military career or whatever to brag about and be proud of necessarily that, you know, that I am. But I do, you know, we are soldiers in God's army. You know what I mean? We're called to be that soldier in God's army. And so I take that mentality that I learned and picked up back from the actual military, you know, mm-hmm. even though it was short and brief and all this, you know. But a lot of that stuff, I can apply that to my Christian walk, you know, to the real army, the one that does matter. And, we were in there, right? We're all just, you know, so they set us in a circle. This is something I think. Okay. So they set us all in a circle.
Now this is in boot camp?
It's in boot camp, yeah. Okay. We were short already, hadn't been there that long, you know, a couple weeks or whatever. And just to sit and talk we loved it because we didn't have to do push-ups. You know, you're just, hey, we're good. This yeah. We like this. So he had asked each one of us, and he had asked us why you joined the military. Kind of this, one of the questions that we had for tonight. What made you join the military, and why are you here? And like I said, this was the majority of us was in the Guard. There was probably, you know, maybe one in five that was actually active duty. And so they go around the room, you know, how do you answer that question? You know what I mean? You're 18 years old. I don't know why I'm here. You know what I mean? I just, mm-hmm. well, and so one of the guys says, well, I wanted money to pay for college. We're like, hey, that's a pretty good answer. Like, yeah. So they go around the room and probably, you know, 80% of us was college. Yeah. Money for college. You know, yeah, money for college. And it was, there's this here and this and there. It was different answers, but the majority of it was, not one of them said anything about, you know, patriotism or I really wanted to serve my country. Wasn't none of that until after me, of course. And of course, so after me, we're all just kind of this. Wow, that's a dumb question. We don't really know. So there's this kid. And I've shared this in church before, but this guy was from the Philippines. I didn't know you could join the U.S. military if you were Filipino. Okay.
Well, that is a United States territory.
It is. Yeah.
So I learned to do that.
I learned that. And there's a few more. So anyway, so this guy was a Filipino, right? He was the only one. Rest of you know, he was mm-hmm. only Filipino. So we probably treated the guy a little bit different because he wasn't like us anyway. Whatever. And so he's a Filipino from the Philippines, and he's in the regular army. He's in the army in artillery, you know. And so, he gets around to him, and we're all just kind of like, I don't know what to say. This guy, just as serious as could be, looks at the drill instructor, and he says, it's my greatest honor to be able to serve my country. And man, we all felt about half inch high. You know what I mean? We're all like, we got to go make ourselves do push-ups for our stupid answer, you know, mm-hmm. college. And so, but that guy gave that answer. And I don't know, you could tell there was a hush in the room that it just, he got a lot of respect from that drill sergeant right then. And he got a lot of respect from a lot of us in that room. Me from, you know what I mean?
Right.
By far me. And I've never, the guy's name was, his last name was Imatashi. I hope if I said it right, I think I did, but of course we don't know anybody's first name. It was private, whatever, you know what I mean. But so, if Imatashi's listening, he impacted me, and I've never forgot that. And really more importantly, for me, is regularly on, maybe not daily, but on a regular basis, I think about being in God's army. And that same statement, it's such a pleasure for me to serve my God. In whatever I'm doing, you know what I mean? Whether it be talking on a radio, you know, giving a tithing message or, you know, anything. Anything that we do is to me is what Imatashi said that day, that it's such a privilege to be in the army of my God, to serve my God, because he paid the ultimate price for me.
And I really, that, like I said, that was a statement from him in boot camp that he, it was an honor to him to serve the
and
country.
And he meant it.
He
yes.
meant it with all his heart. And coming, you know, I ain't been to the Philippines, but I can, I've heard stories and seen pictures, you know what I mean? This guy understood what it was like to have freedoms because he had seen them not have them. And so in the Christian world, you know, here, like we had all taken all those freedom to and to have food and to have, you know, freedom of speech. We didn't think nothing about that. We was thinking about college and all that stuff. Really, I don't know. You know, I don't know why I'm in here, you know,
mm-hmm.
just cause. And, but he had that understanding of why. And so I did know it then. And I really, from that point on, I had more respect for the military as a duty to my country, to serve my country. From what he said on, I did. And like I said, today I have that way even more for serving God because it is an honor.
It is
to,
an honor.
To be God's hand and be God's feet, I think.
Well, and as you think about it, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to make the comparison because he was talking about what your Filipino friend had said. In the Gospels, Jesus is referring to the woman who came to him and worshiped him. And he said, to whom much is forgiven, they love much.
Right.
Yes.
And it's the same principle. Those who have seen war firsthand like that
right.
are going to have the love of their country and the desire to give back to
right.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I thought you were going to be making the same point that I'm about to make is looking at the army of God. You know, because actually we're talking about Memorial Day and we're thanking those that lost their life for fighting for us. Well, you know, sometimes in the army of the Lord, you know, we keep going, even if that means we have to deny ourselves. We have to die to it. You know, sometimes we may have to die, but we have to die to the point of serving him for what he asked us to do. And so, I don't know, it just makes me think about that, too, as well as, you know what, I'm in this. I'm going to do it, even to the point of death, if that's what it requires.
Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me.
Yes, and deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Take up
that's
your
right.
cross.
That's right. Deny yourself is in there first. It
yeah,
sure is.
Yeah. Well, and the reason why I point that out is because that always has been something that it took me a while to get. And I know it's a simple thing. You deny yourself, you know, tell yourself no, right? Well, that was something it took me a while to get. It don't matter what I want. It don't matter if I'm not comfortable. It doesn't matter if I'm not, you know, what matters is what God wants me to do. And so that's why I said it like that.
Yeah, but the scripture actually says that.
Mm-hmm.
Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we are at war with principalities, right? And in powers and not people, but we are at war and God, he is our commander in chief and he's already won, you know? And so we go through the fight. If you're Christian, to realize that you're going to go through the fight regardless. You don't sign up to be a Christian to get out of going to war. You're going to war whether you're a Christian or not.
That's
because
right.
the devil's going to attack you. You just don't have to go to war alone to get, and you're going to win as opposed to losing, right? And so, and Bob was talking last night with me about pastor said a couple weeks ago in church that, you know, we think we're going to go out and beat the devil. We think we can beat the devil. We can't even beat Bluebell, you know? And it's true. We can't beat, you know, how many people go on, you know, 10 different diets, you know, before they ever can, you know, well, I'll just go have the surgery. You know what I mean? Just losing weight, you know, just something simple. Not simple. It's not simple, but it's, you know what I mean? It's something like that. But we think we're going to just take over the devil and beat the devil down and we can't eat right. We can't exercise. We know we need to, you know, so to apply that to our godly, you know, the devil is a fierce enemy. You know what I mean? He's not no joke. I mean, he is, he will be, he was a Jesus, but he's constantly at us and tempting us and trying to get us to do the stuff we don't need to be doing and trying to, you know, tell us lies. And so to be in that army, like I said, for that mentality of a military mentality, to thinking back, you know what I mean? If we can keep our eyes on Jesus, he's going to tell you what to do and how to do it and listen to the Holy Spirit. Like I said, it comes down to, like I talked about the very first of it, you know, all you have to do is just, the God's army is different. You don't shut up and listen and do what you're told because God's army, you have to listen
do what you're told and say what you're told.
That's right.
God's army, we have to speak, you know, because that is our weapon, is our words. So that's the difference. But you really have to hear God's voice, and you have to say, you know, and then that's the doing part. God will do the doing. We do the saying. But it's from that military, we're talking about honoring those, you know, Memorial Day, is the honoring the people that wrote the book, wrote the Bible. To me, is the biblical side of that. Those ones that were persecuted and died before us, and they give us the manual. You know, they didn't have the Bible when they went through that. The disciples and stuff. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Right.
They had to go off of what they had heard and then
the Holy
write
Spirit.
That down.
That's right.
And
it makes me think about Paul. You know, when Paul wrote Ephesians, he was actually in jail, and he talks about the armor of God, and it's because he's there and he's seeing that military and he's seeing how that military works. And he tells us that, look, you are in a battle in the army of the Lord. You are in a battle, but not only are you in that battle, but God's going to provide you with that armor to fight in that war, just like you do, like, you know, in the war today. I mean, in the military today, they give you weapons. They give you things that you need to do. And that's what Paul was doing, is he was comparing those things to a soldier who has to go out and fight in a war, an actual battle. The weapons that they have, that's the same weapons. We have weapons that God gives us that we can fight, because like you said, we can't even beat Bluebell. But God gives us the weapons to fight with so that we can overcome Bluebell and we can overcome the devil and the enemy and those things.
Right.
And so that's what it makes me think about, is it makes me think about Paul, that, you know, and being around all of that military and seeing how they were and the discipline that they had to have. You know, yeah. You talked about you had to be disciplined. You had to run. I mean, to me, running was, I ran track, but that's like a mind game. It's not really physical ability. It's a mind thing. I can do this. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to pass out, you know. Keep moving. Keep putting your legs in front of yourself. Keep running. Keep running. And that's that mental race. And so there's just so many similarities there, and that just really popped out at me about Paul. But anyway, so with that being said, you know, my dad, we talked about my dad, going to talk a little bit about him. He served in the military. I was an army brat, and I was actually born on a military base here in the U.S. And then from there, we went to Germany. He served in Germany for a couple of years, and then we moved. And I just know stories from when I was young, after I was born, from what my parents told me. But then later on, I remember we've lived in Colorado, we've lived in Alabama, I remember going back to Germany in grade school and living there. And it was a constant thing where we moved every so often. And so you never really had any roots where you were at. You know, there was not any, you know, you go to the school and you only have your friends for a little while, but there just wasn't any roots. And so a family that has to live with the military personnel, the family that goes along with them, it takes a toll on the family as well. The family's military too. You live on the military base with them. And so it's not just that person, but like I said, it's the whole family.
Yeah, it's not just you're all enlisted.
Yeah.
Makes me think of the show we used to watch. I don't remember what it was called, about the Army, when those Special Force guys.
Oh, SEAL Team.
No.
Oh.
Anyway, we watched it. We ran out of episodes. We watched it all. And it was where they were all on the military base, and the wives had their drama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I can't think of it either.
Yeah, but it was a good show. But the wives would say, well, your husband's not the only one enlisted. You're enlisted, too. When your husband enlists or your wife enlists, you're enlisted as well. So it's not necessarily, let's say, Memorial Day that's lost, you know what I mean? It's the families of the service members, especially ones that have died in battle, you know, and lost and, you know, have paid the ultimate price for their country and their freedom. Their family suffers.
You know, that just makes me think, would you be willing to pray for those families that have lost their family from serving for our country. Would you be willing to say a prayer for those people? You know, because that just really struck a chord with me, because, you know, they, like you said, they were in the military as well, and now they've lost that family member. Mm-hmm. And so just loving on them in that way, that, you know, pray for peace and comfort.
Yeah, Father, we lift up every family member and friend of lost service members. They've lost their life in combat or any situation, Lord God, through the military we're talking about right now. Lord, we just lift up the family and friends that they see you, see the love of God shows up, and that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is just so overwhelmingly present in them, Lord God, that you give them peace. They're not going to understand it, Lord God. We know that we can't understand everything and why this and why that. But we just pray for peace, Lord God. We just want the peace of God to fall upon all the family members, young and old. And, Lord God, it may have been years ago. It may have been, like I said, some Korean Vietnam War people that they just still don't have that peace, and they have struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Show up, Lord God, out of the present, the people we're in right now, and we pray for the same. It's our Memorial Day, but the Ukrainians and the whole conflict going on over there, Lord God, just give peace to the soldiers who lose their life, to their families and their friends, Lord God. Just lift them up, and may the peace of God, which you've already given us, just manifest itself in such a way that they can move forward and draw closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so, you know, now let's go as we talk into Memorial Day, you know, and we are honoring those that have died for us here. But we honor those, and I don't mean this to sound bad or for this to come out bad, but, you know, we have the traveling wall that comes around, and it's to honor those that have died. And we are saddened by that, and we want to thank them for their service, and we're thankful for who they are, for what they've done. But one of the things that my father-in-law said is, he said, "Have you ever seen that?" And I said, "No, I've heard of it traveling around, but I've never actually gone." He says, "Well, you know what's one good thing about that?" And I said, "What's that?" He said, "My name's not on there." And I said, "That's right." And I said, "I'm thankful for that."
You know, we went to that Vietnam, they have a Vietnam War memorial up in New Mexico. I don't remember where it was, where Red River or somewhere in that area along the Enchanted Circle. I believe it was closer to Angel Fire. I believe it's
actually, yes, it was. That's
just
right.
North of Angel Fire, if I remember right, it's where it's at. But anyway, we had stopped in there that time. You know, we was up there on vacation one year, and we stopped in there and kind of walked through there. And that's one thing that come to my mind then, it's been years ago, was they had listed names of people that died in Vietnam on that. And that's one thing back then that I remember. I said, "Lord, thank you that my father's name is not on that." That's one thing I said, you know, years ago, just to myself, you know, just,
yeah,
just, I was just grateful that he come home from that. You know what I mean?
So. And Branson also has a really neat, veterans memorial there as well. And, that's a sight to see too.
Yeah, Branson does a really good job with the veterans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They really honor those that have served our country. So what, for those that, so do you have some ideas like, okay, so, how do we raise our appreciation for our military? How do we raise our patriotism? How can we help people be aware of what can we do? Is there an answer to that? I mean, I know we can pray, but what can we practically do? Because, you know, I think about it and I think, you know, and I'm one of those people, when I see somebody in the military in their fatigues or they're in uniform, I want to go up to them and I want to say, thank you so much. even if, you know, some people say, oh, I just did this in the Army and I just did this and I didn't see combat. You know what? That doesn't matter. It's just like the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what part in the body that you're in, you all count. And it takes everybody to make it all work. And it don't matter what it is that you're doing, but you chose to do that for your country and for us and for our freedom. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for doing that for me.
And I think that's, can we do anything? Not really. We as a whole, we could, but we can't control the people. To me, when you're saying that, it's just like answering to Jesus for God, right? We only have to answer for ourselves. I can't control other people, but if the people themselves, you know, if you're a listener, you can do what you can do. You know, we can only do what we can do, and I can do more. You know, I can't make you do more. I can't make someone else do more. But if that's something that we feel strong about, then if we each individually make just a little bit more effort, like you said, tell the people wearing uniforms, thank you, you know, maybe buy their lunch, you know, if you see them at McDonald's or something, right? Just whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Any little thing like that, especially through this weekend, through this, you know, while it's fresh. So anyway, I think that's something we can do. Small, little things like that, of course, like you said, pray and then, pray for the nation to come back to quit being, you know, our Pledge of Allegiance says one nation, indivisible. Well, we're divided, you know, multiple different ways. The devil is trying to get us to divide so that we can fall, because if we're not divided, we won't fall, and he knows that. So
we have to stand together in
Christ. We have to stand together,
yeah.
And quit being so...
Stand for God and stand for country.
Yeah, love God, love people, and it's...
That's right.
Love all, you know... Take an extra, go the extra mile, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment.
Right.
To love God. And the second is like unto that. Love your neighbor as yourself.
That's it.
That's right.
You take care of those two, and you take care of the other 10 or 20
right.
or 100
all,
or whatever it is.
Right.
And so it makes me think, who is your neighbor? Well, your neighbor...
That was the question being asked of him, too. So.
Yes. Who is your neighbor? Because we're like, oh, that's not my neighbor. They don't live next door to me. No, your neighbor is that person there. Your neighbor is the people, the other people. And so, you know, if you are listening out there and you are one of those people that have lost somebody to the military, we just want to tell you that we are sorry for your loss and that we thank them for their service, and we just want you to know that we honor them and we are appreciative of them, because that is, I know it's a hard thing. You know, it makes me think about the movie where the sniper, what was the name of that movie? The sniper where he actually made it through war, he came home, and he was actually helping somebody else out, and he ended up actually getting... killed on his own soil, on American soil. And it's a hard thing, but it takes a commitment, and it's a sacrifice. It's what it is. It's a sacrifice, and that's just like what you said. Jesus did that sacrifice for us, and I really feel that same way of those that served in our military, that they have sacrificed that for us. They have sacrificed their life, and we thank those that have done that.
Yes.
And so
I say there's a lot of veterans out there that have passed away, and they don't have family, they don't have nothing, you know. All they get is once a year someone puts a little cheap 50-cent flag on their tombstone, you know what I mean? And so it's more than that. Yeah, we want to put the flags on all veterans' tombs. I think that's an awesome thing that they do. I think that's great. But if you're out in a memorial, you know, for a family member or whatever, and you see the flags, you know what I mean? That should be a reminder that to just pray or thank them, you know, thank God that we live in this country, that we have the freedom to do that.
That's right. And so as we close our program out tonight, I want to go ahead and say this: the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph, as Thomas Paine said in The Crisis. And so we just thank you for that. And we just want to say happy Memorial Day. We hope you enjoy that tomorrow night. And thank you for tuning in. And
remember to check out our website.
That's right.
SundayNightLive.org. We try to archive this program as well as all of the most recent ones, and we're working on archiving some other programming and wells that you'd like to listen to on there. So
yes,
come back and
previous.
Check on us every now and then, because we'll try to keep you informed.
That's right. We'll see you guys next week.
Y'all have a good weekend.